Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Straight Wives Talk Show. This is a hard-hitting show that discusses the complexity of marriages between straight women to gay, bisexual, or trans men. Each week, my guests and I discuss issues that affect over 4 million women in this country and millions more around the world who find themselves unknowingly married to a gay or bisexual or trans man. If you have any comments you'd like to make during the broadcast, you can email me at bonkay@aol.com. That's bonkaye@aol.com. And before I just introduce my very special co-hostess for tonight, I just want to give a shout-out to a lot of the women who responded to my newsletter request. I was so excited that I've had so many of you write to me and say that you're willing to take part in my new survey. So we're going to talk about that in a moment, but I want to thank all of you. Been overwhelmed by the response over the last 2 days, and I'm sure they'll just keep coming in because this is going to make a difference for us, as we'll be talking in a moment. So without further ado, let me introduce my beautiful co-hostess for tonight, Deborah Sutton. Hi, Deb.
Hi, Bonnie.
Thank you so much for rejoining us.
Oh, you're welcome.
Because I know all of our members of the Straight Wives Club look forward to listening to you and hearing what you have to say. Because you truly are a leader in this group and in this movement for straight wives. And Deborah has out her second book that just came out recently. She also has an ongoing blog, and she's really the listening ear for so many women who really need support. She connects them. She helps them. So she's a true crusader that I'm very proud to know. So welcome,
Thank
Deborah.
You. Thank you, Bonnie. I'm happy to be here.
Good. Well, one of the things we were going to talk about tonight before we talk about your books is we want to talk about our new campaign for Straight Wives Matter. And the reason why I feel it's so important is because until straight wives start to matter, we're never going to feel good about ourselves. We're always going to feel like victims. We're not going to feel like victors. And that's the whole thing here, that it really affects our whole emotional well-being when we haven't been acknowledged as being the party that's been wronged in the situation. And one of the things that truly upsets me is that there is just no response of support for us from hardly anywhere. And it's almost today as if you're a gay man and you come out after you've been married, then everybody's cheering you on. The gay community is cheering you on because now you can live your authentic life. The straight community, they're cheering for you too. They're saying, oh, finally you can be who you were meant to be, because this is a very different generation than the ones that I grew up in. Back in those days, nobody was cheering that you're gay and coming out. And those were horrible days for gay people, and I acknowledge that. But today, it's not just that you're gay, because that's one issue, but when you're gay and married, that's a totally different issue. And when these guys come out and everybody's cheering them for being honest to themselves and being true to themselves, and you see it all the time in the press, right, Deborah?
Right.
For all these actors or famous people, they come out after they've been married for 10, 20, 30 years, and people are praising them like crazy for their courage. They call it courage. And yet the woman is totally ignored, or she's looked at as deserving it. Because
I don't
she
think
must
that
have
we're,
known.
We're thought, they just don't think about us on the other side of it. You know,
Well, that's because they think that somehow we had something to do with it, or we knew and we didn't care. And now why are we complaining? You knew you'd married a gay man. People have no sense of reality of this whole situation, of how this happens, how it happens for so long, how we didn't know. I mean, we are married to the greatest game players in the world. Wouldn't you agree with that?
I do agree. They should win an Oscar.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I say. These guys are guys who have practiced being straight their whole lives. And this is what they do when they can't deal with who they are. They fight it, and they practice being straight. And I say in almost all cases, when they do get married, the reason they get married is because they want to be straight. They don't want to be gay. They're hoping
right.
If they get married, then that's going to change who they are. And it might temporarily, because, you know, love can do wonderful things for people. But after a while, that love starts fading because Mother Nature is kicking in, and then all of their hormones are going crazily out the door for the woman they loved, and they want a man because
mm-hmm.
that's who they were to start with. I don't really believe in almost any case it's a great revelation that at the age of 30, all of a sudden, you decide, I'm attracted to men. What do you think, Deborah?
I don't think that you just recognize that at 30 or 40 or 50 years old. You know, I think you've known since you were young.
I think that's the problem, that women are so, you know, they just are so unknowing about this whole mentality. It's really interesting. Earlier today I was speaking to one of our women, and we were talking, and I'm not going to reveal any information about her, but she was telling me about all the proof she has about her, you know, husband having affairs and with men, and, you know, she has it all printed out and everything else, but he refuses to say that he's gay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's claiming that just because you have oral sex or a blowjob from a guy does not make you gay.
Right.
That's just called some kind of sexual fulfillment. So these guys really delude themselves into thinking, I'm not gay. I'm not like those other gay people. You know, I walk straight. I talk straight. I have a wife. I have a family. I'm a straight man. Just because I like a blowjob doesn't make me gay. So this is how so many of these guys justify it. I mean, they've told it to me themselves. They're not gay just because they get a blowjob from a guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like they'll come out and say, well, if my wife would have been more giving, then I wouldn't have had to turn to a guy. And then they explain to me, well, because I went to a guy because if I had gone to another woman, that would be considered cheating.
Oh.
And that's how they justify it.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of that, Deb?
Yeah, that's how they try to justify it.
Mm-hmm.
No, it can't be justified. It's cheating. I guess they delude themselves. Their thinking is, you know, is off. like you always say, gay men don't think straight.
Right, they think gay. And their thought patterns are not straight because they are gay men, and that's nothing against gay men. It's just they're not seeing it from the straight perspective because they can't. Because on certain issues, when it comes to sexuality, when it comes to morality, when it comes to, you know, being with partners, they have a totally different point of view. And one of the things that they have such a hard time dealing with is the reality of the situation where they feel that we're responsible for their unhappiness. And because of that, they act out on us. Have you talked to women in that situation too, Deb?
I've been in that situation, and yes, I've talked to women in that situation. Yes, and
yeah, it's really very skewed thinking, and that was one of the things I wrote about in my newsletter that just came out yesterday. And if you haven't received my newsletter and you would like to be on my mailing list, you can just write to me at bondk@aol.com. So, Deborah, if you don't mind, I'm just going to read the first article here so we can talk a little more about what we're doing. And the first article says, Straight Wives Matter Campaign. Let me start off by saying this. I am a total advocate of gay rights. I don't carry a banner or march in parades, but my heart is with anyone who has had to be persecuted for being different, whether it's sexuality, religion, or race. I've greatly admired the advocacy and activism of the gay community in their battle to be recognized for having the same equal rights as straight people. That being said, there's an elephant in the middle of the gay pride movement that is rarely discussed, namely gay men who marry straight women as a way to avoid or change their homosexuality. These men are often viewed as victims of society that has not accepted homosexuality. These guys come out as winners from a losing situation. They are winners in the gay community because once they accept their homosexuality, they can find the happiness that was intended for them. They are winners in the straight community because people praise their courage to be their authentic selves. If we as straight wives complain about our lives being destroyed, we are viewed as being overdramatic, whiny, and of course, homophobic. Gay husband phobia has absolutely nothing to do with homophobia. Almost every wife married to a gay man that I've met in the last 35 years was very accepting of gay men. They just weren't accepting or expecting them to become part of their sacred union. I do appreciate that so many gay men had to live a life of persecution due to the ignorance of society. I cannot even imagine the hurt of having to pretend to be someone every day of my life that isn't who I am. I can't imagine always living in fear that I'll make a wrong move and be discovered, only to lose a family, employment, or acceptance in the community. You see, I have compassion for gay men who were self-forced to live this lie, whether it was the perception of what they had to do or the expectation of what the family and community wanted. I do understand all of it. Heck, I work with married gay guys all the time in their efforts to come out to their wives. I know their story before they say a word. Sadly, it's not always a two-way street that I'm finding love on, as the song says. My name is vilified by many a gay husband support group. They are told, make sure your wife doesn't find Bonnie Kay. She will only bring about your doom. Really? How? By asking for fair play and honesty. As the song goes, what's it all about, Alfie? Or, of course, I tell these husbands to be honest to their wives. When you marry someone who loves you so deeply, you are obligated to make sure that she doesn't have to suffer, even if you are. Some of these men miss that point. They think, I'm not going to suffer alone. You are keeping me in this prison. If you want to be the gatekeeper stopping me from my authentic happiness, then you're going to pay the price with me and suffer. There's just one problem with this skewed thinking. Your wife didn't create the situation, you did. You trapped yourself because of the societal norms you were caving into, and now you are punishing your wife and often children because you feel trapped. How many times do I hear from gay husbands, I did my time, I stayed until the children were grown, and now it's my turn to find happiness. Look what I've sacrificed for 20, 25, or 30 years or more. I gave my wife what she wanted. Now it's my turn. Yikes, those conversations really scare me. It is such lopsided thinking. This is straight out of the fairy tale Alice in Wonderland, where everything topsy-turvy seems straight, not meaning sexually, just generally. Most of these men are controlling, emotionally battering, narcissistic with their needs first, and out there cheating on their wives. And they feel trapped? What could be worse than making the woman who loves you feel that she's totally inadequate as a woman and as a wife? Sexual rejection is the worst crime you can do to someone, and especially if you blame your wife because you can't be honest about who you really are. And now you're about to begin your new life as a gay man, but before you do, you realize that you have to first put in the final screw in the coffin to the woman who was dedicating her life to you. You have to make sure that she's left unprovided for because either, one, you were the financial provider and she doesn't deserve your money, or two, she was the financial provider and you deserve her money. That just doesn't work for me. Why should your loving wife be expected to pay for the divorce? Is it just because the courts around America try to make it easier by saying no fault when it comes to the ending of this tragedy? I think not. Gay husbands need to do the right thing after spending so many years doing the wrong thing. As the saying goes, man up. The marriage is ending because you are a gay man. This is not a no-fault situation. There is fault here. Your wife didn't want to end the marriage. You wanted to end it. And the worst thing a man can tell me, and some do, is that the marriage isn't working anyway because his wife was too demanding, needy, suspicious, jealous. Does it occur to you that every time you are doing to what everything you're doing to her makes her feel that way? And in the end, not only do you want to take that away from her, you also expect her to pay for it in legal bills or income. If you are a straight wife who agrees with me, I need your help. I have a survey being conducted by one of the members of our group who is an attorney. I just need you to fill out a few questions in order to start moving ahead with this campaign of Straight Wives Matter to get some ridiculous laws changed. It won't cost you any money, just a few moments of your time. You don't have to reveal your real name. We don't care. We just want to start putting together some of the facts. And if you are willing to help me, please send me a note at bondk@aol.com and put the word survey in the title. We will make sure you get the survey as soon as possible. Help me in my fight to help you and all our other straight sisters. And that was that first article in the newsletter. And that's what this is all about. Straight wives matter. Because as it stands now, there is hardly any kind of legality issue that favors women. You know, we were put into the same boat as everyone else. Oh, well, you just had a bad marriage, so therefore you're both going to pay for it, and then you should walk away being happy. And that is not what happens in these marriages. And Deborah, in your book that just came out, your newest edition of Signs of a Gay Husband, Volume 2, On the Other Side of Fear, you really discuss some of these issues that women go through so beautifully. And a lot of it was based on your own experience of being married to a gay man, correct?
Yes.
For a long period of time.
22 years.
Right, 22 years of a lifetime. And that's what I tell women. When you spend 20 years of your adult life with someone, you know, that's just consuming all those years that you could have had decent, you know, years and, you know, really accomplished something in your life. Because when you're living through a depressed state, and all of us have to be depressed on some level, you can't live with all this rejection and feel good about yourself. So even though you keep saying, I'm trying to show you, you know, I can pretend for the sake of the kids, I put on a happy face, nobody knows the troubles I've seen, then you're really kidding yourself one more time. Everybody knows. You're the one who may not see it. But everyone around you knows that you're not happy. People see you crying. People see you with your head down instead of your head up. And that's when you spend years living with someone who never makes you feel worthwhile. And you may not know what the reason is. You may not have discovered the gay side yet. But let's be honest. I mean, men are sexual animals. They really are. They always want sex. So if a man that you're with and lying in bed with doesn't want to touch you, I mean, what would be the reason for that? I mean, isn't that a hint that there's something wrong there? How do you address that issue, Deborah?
Well, I believed his was mental depression. I mean, I believed that at the time, but I got to a point where I wasn't so much believing that anymore. You know, near the end, I was really questioning that, because even depressed men want sex.
Mm-hmm. That's,
you know,
another really good
point. I know
point.
The medication can sometimes have an effect, but it's not going to make a man go 12 years without sex. So.
Right, because men want sex. So that's lesson number one to women. If a man is not getting sex from you, he's getting it from somewhere else. And so many times we buy into that depression story, I'm under too much pressure story, we're having problems because of the kids, we don't get to spend time together enough. I mean, come on, let's be for real. How much time does sex have to take? I mean, it's a bond between a loving man and a loving woman, and it doesn't matter how long you've been married, and it doesn't matter how old you are. I'm still old and still having great lovemaking in my life. And if I'm this old, somebody who's 30 years younger than me really has to look at the situation and think, what's wrong with my marriage? And if your husband doesn't want to touch you or makes you feel inadequate in bed, or if he gives you this line of, people don't keep doing this stuff. You know, we're not newlyweds anymore. We're not so young anymore. You know, you peter yourself out that as you get older, you don't do it. Do you hear that story, Deborah?
Well, I thought that, but I told myself a lot of other things like, well, sex isn't everything. You know, we have a bond, we have a friendship, and I can, you know, but I can go without sex. And really just took away my sexuality, you know. And he wasn't denying himself throughout the marriage, but it just shut me down.
Mm-hmm. Because it's a horrible feeling when women have to feel that they're unworthy. I mean, we put our trust in these men who at the altar, they say, I will love you forever and ever, through sickness, through health, through this, through that. You know, they give us all these promises and make us feel so well loved. And then when it comes time to making love to us in the bedroom, all of a sudden, they can't do it. Because they're getting too old after 3 years of marriage, or they're depressed, or we don't have enough time, or we have very busy lives. Let me tell you something. Busy, busy men have sex. Gay, busy men don't have sex with their wives, and not busy gay men, they don't have sex with their wives either. Gay men don't want to have sex with their wives, right?
Right.
I mean, they could do it once in a while just to throw you off track, and some
that's
of them
it.
Do.
And that's why they do it, to throw you off track.
Right. So that you can never come back to them and say, you must be gay, so they can say, you must be crazy. Didn't we just have sex? And to them, that's what it is. It's having sex. It's not making love. It's a physical act of sex just to placate you. So that it's a matter that you won't go and start telling stories to people, or that he could throw in your face, weren't we having sex? How could you accuse me of being gay? So it's a vicious cycle, but there's no way that you can feel good about it. And like Deborah was saying, she just justified it in different ways by saying, well, maybe we don't have sex, but, you know, we have a bond. I hear that from a lot of women, Deborah. We have a bond.
He's my best friend.
And he's my best friend.
I did think like that at one time. I don't anymore.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's the mistake women make. You know, they want to deny the truth. They don't want to have to accept it, because it is one of the hardest things that you have to accept. And the reason for that is this. If you're in a marriage to a straight person, and let's say something happens, let's say you have a problem, let's say you went out and had an affair for a moment, or, you know, you did something that was wrong, you took money from the family. These are problems that are devastating, but you can work on them to change them. But when you have to say the problem in our marriage is homosexuality, that is pretty much a death sentence in 98% of all the cases.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
And that's why it's so hard for people
to work on.
Yeah, you can't go any further. You can try to, in your mind, say, well, this is what I can live with and bargain. If you only have to go out once a year, once every 2 years, and I never have to know about it like I used to try to bargain, then I guess I could live with that. But there's no such thing as bargaining because they're never going to do that. It's not like a man's going to say, I'm going to be a great husband to you, but once a year on this date, I'm going out and having sex with a guy. That's not how it works. You give him an inch, he's going to take a foot. You tell him if you have to do something, I'll understand as long as I don't have to know about it. He'll be out there every week doing it, thinking you're not going to catch him. So the reason we make these bargains is because we don't want to lose our marriage. Many times we love the person that we're with, and we're making excuses for bad behavior. We're saying they're bad boys, and we can fix them. Because we are the ultimate fixer-uppers. That's what we love to do, fix broken men. And these men who come into a marriage who are pretending to be someone who they're not, and it's just not like a career change kind of pretending to be someone you're not. It's a whole sexuality thing. Then, you know, there's just a no-win situation here. We cannot change it. They can't change it, and we can't change it.
Right.
So have you worked with women, Deborah, or heard from women who say, well, I'm not in that situation. It can work for me.
Yes. I mean, I've heard from women that, you know, are still in their marriages and working on their marriages, and it may be that they have young children and they're going to, you know, finish raising the children, but they're going to have an open marriage. But I think that's going to be very hard on the wife.
It has to be. I mean, how can anybody feel good knowing every time her husband's walking out the door, he might be in the arms of another man?
Yeah.
I mean, that's really what it comes down to. I mean, you can delude yourself for as long as you like, but in the end, you're just deluding yourself because he's out there with another guy. And then it's just a matter of time, right?
He's going to meet somebody that he wants to be with, a man that he wants to be with. And he's going to fall in love, and then he's going to walk out.
Exactly.
Yes.
And even if he doesn't walk out, do you still feel like living with a man is coming home? I mean, this is what I don't understand. He's coming home after he's been having sex with a man? I mean, is that good enough?
Not for me, it wouldn't be. I'd rather be alone.
Me too. And I don't feel, now, some women will tell me this. They'll say, well, if he has to cheat on me, I'm glad it's a man and not a woman. I don't feel that way.
No, I don't either. I mean, just knowing he finding out my husband was gay and was never, ever attracted to me, could never really have those in love type of feelings toward me, and I was there for so many years. That was devastating to me. I mean, he may have cared for me like a mother or a sister, but, you know, that's not what I was in the relationship for.
Exactly. And in most of the cases, in almost all of the cases, you know, it's a matter that they are abusive, either emotionally and sometimes physically.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
You know, there's different kinds of abusive behaviors. A lot of them, if you write in your book, Deborah. So I want to talk about some of them, and maybe you can, you know, bring out some, you know, insight here. So you have a chapter in your book, and you talk first about accepting an apology you never got. Can you talk a little bit about that?
I still struggle with that, even though I wrote it. I mean, I just had something come up where I had to ask myself, what am I still, am I still looking for that apology? I mean, we want something You know, I feel like I was discarded, like I never mattered. And I won't, okay, I accept that you're gay, but you lived a lot of years with me, and you owe me something, I feel. The truth, an apology. You did mean something to me as a human being. Those kind of things, I never got that. So I think I held on to the longest time, you know, wishing that I could hear those things. And sometimes I still struggle with it.
I think a lot of women struggle with it because many women will never get an apology. And that's the reality of it. You know, the reason you know why you're not going to get an apology? Because they're not sorry. I mean, there are some that will tell you they're sorry. Mine certainly did. And he was sorry. But there are some who are not sorry at all because they don't feel they've done anything wrong to be sorry about. So if you keep waiting for a confession that's never going to happen and holding up your emotional feelings based on that apology, you're going to be holding them for a very long time because you'll probably, in most cases, not get an apology. You might have a superficial, well, I'm sorry that this happened. But they still don't understand the devastation that goes on in our life and what it means to us as women to have to give up so much. And you talk in your book next about how long will the grief last. You have a chapter on that.
Yeah.
And talk a little bit about that.
Well, I read one time to give yourself a year for every 5 years you were married, you know, to heal and get over the divorce. And it's taking me, it's been about 5 years now since my divorce, and it's taking every bit of that time and then some. I'm doing much better now, but and you can't really place a rule on it, but I wanted to know, well, how long am I going to have to feel this way? Because I thought, oh, well, give me a year and I'll be fine. Then 2 years passed and I still wasn't fine, and it kept going on and on. So I went and read about that, and it seemed, you know, it sounded good to me that to give yourself a year for every 5 years you were married. But, you know, there's no time limitation on grief.
Yeah, and, you know, that's the whole thing. I'd like to just talk about this for a minute because I think what's so hurtful to so many of our women is that people don't even get this whole concept of being married to a gay man and the extra effects it has on you in a divorce. I mean, people have divorces, almost half the population, they divorce. And that's because they either outgrow each other, they don't get along, they realize they made a mistake, and it's still, you have to grieve it, no doubt. And, you know, you're very sad when it ends, especially if you're madly in love with someone and you don't have any choices. But in time, you can grieve it and you can move on. With our divorces, they're so totally different because it wasn't just two people grew apart. It wasn't because you were too young when you got married. It wasn't any of those reasons. It's because your husband was gay. And in the interim of being gay, he was making you feel so bad about yourself and inadequate that a lot of us just buy into that emotionally, and we start believing it about ourselves. And that's why when you have to look back at all the signs you missed, or, you know, when women tell me, how could I have been so stupid, I really stop them in their tracks. I don't want to hear that. You weren't stupid. You just didn't have the knowledge. None of us did. None of us realized what we were up against when it came to homosexuality. You cannot blame yourself, and you can't keep feeling stupid because that's part of this whole thing. They want you to feel stupid. Would you agree with that?
I agree, and it does make you feel that way when you can see it in hindsight, but when you're living through it, you know, they're hiding it from you. They're doing so much to hide and things from you and confuse you. I mean, mine kept me in a state of confusion for so long. I couldn't see anything clearly. It took me getting away from him to be able to see everything.
You know, one of the things we talk about, you know, all the time is gaslighting, which comes from the term gaslighting from the movie Gaslight. when this man is making this woman think that she's crazy. Like if she knows a room that something's there, he'll move it away so she can't find it. You know, you start doubting yourself every time he makes changes that you thought you knew. And this is the same thing. I call it gay lighting. Other people call it gaslighting. But when it's with your gay husband, to me, it's called gay lighting. And that's when they're making you think you must be crazy. They're not out there cheating on you. They're not gay. You must be imagining the gay porn showing up on your computer. Or you must be imagining all these ads at Craigslist that it's them, even though you see their body on their pictures and know it's them. You must be crazy. It's always saying, oh, you must be crazy. And so after a while, you start thinking, well, maybe I am, you know, because they're swearing up and down that you're just making this stuff up or you're naive or you're not reading what's right. And that's what I call gay lighting, making you think that the truth is a lie. Once again, going back to Alice in Wonderland, looking through that looking glass and everything is upside down, and that's how they make us lead our lives. So I don't want to hear from women this, right?
Right, and you begin to, you know, not trust your own judgment living in that confusion.
Exactly. And it's a very confusing world where you question everything, and after a while you just stop questioning. After a while you just submit and give in, and that's what they want to do. They don't want you asking questions. They don't want you questioning their sexuality. They don't want any of this. They just want you to submit to them, accept who they are, whatever they want to be, and there's nothing you can do about it. And if you want to think it's gay, then you're the crazy one. So, you know, that's why I say with all of this, it just makes me really, really angry. And that we're victimized and then re-victimized after the marriage because we're made to pay for it. And I think this is, you know, sorry to divert from your book, Deb, but I do want to say this is what upsets me so much. We go through all these things and all these feelings, all these problems, all these traumas. We did nothing wrong except pick the wrong partner, but we had no idea we were doing that. So we did nothing wrong, and now our partner wants to leave, and we're going to get a divorce. And guess what? We're going to have to pay for it. We're going to have to pay half, at least, because you're gay. See, I don't get that.
So
this
law, it's like an at-fault law. So do you have to prove that he is at fault? I mean,
well,
yes, you would.
You mean if we would have a his fault law or your fault law? There are states that do fault. There are states that acknowledge fault. Not a lot of them, but there's a handful of states where when you get a divorce, if you can prove that your husband was having an affair, it will definitely count in your favor when you get to court for financial settlement. The big problem is that those states who do that don't consider homosexuality an affair. Because the way the laws are written is that adultery is a relationship between a man and a woman. Gay doesn't come into it.
And that didn't change with the gay marriage laws?
Not yet. Not yet. Not when it's defined adultery. So I don't know if what those states are going to do. But this is where I want to try to get our women to start pushing that we need a law of fairness. We need the law to make sense. You know, it's not making sense as it is now. We're losing everything. And even if people want to tell me, well, you still have this or you still have that. No, our lives have been taken from us. 20 years, 30 years, 40 years have been trashed, leading an unhappy life because somebody can't be honest with us. So, so you trashed our life. I don't want to pay for that.
Someone brought up this issue saying that to prove fault that it would cost more money with investigations. But I'm telling you, with today's technology, a lot of women already have their own proof, you know.
Exactly. And a lot of times the men are living openly gay lives when they want to get a divorce. Usually these guys already have somebody. They're not just walking out of a marriage and saying, oh, now I'm going to explore my life. I would say 95% of the times they're exploring their life because they've already been out there cheating and they met someone who they think is their soulmate, and now they can move on. And sometimes it comes after some tragedy in their life, like their parents die, so now they don't feel trapped in that their parents are going to find out. You know, there's a bunch of circumstances where I always see this happening, a certain time in your life, certain events in your life. So now the man decides that, okay, it's my turn, you know, and I have to live my life and I have to be true to myself. My point is that when you're living it and you're, you know, most of these guys have partners, it doesn't take much research to find them. And many of the times they're bragging about them, putting their, you know, pictures on Facebook.
So it's not really that hard to prove, I don't think. And I don't think it's going to require a lot more money to do investigations, because I hear from so many women that, you know, they find this stuff, they keep quiet, and they keep gathering evidence. I don't know. I mean, even though we're at in a even though they live in a no-fault state, and their evidence isn't going to do them any good in court, other than
that's
maybe it's leverage with him, because he doesn't want that information out there.
Sometimes, but not all times. Sometimes they just don't care. So my point is that, and that's the situation, I don't want any wife to have to pay for this divorce. I don't think that's being unreasonable. There is nothing that she did to create this divorce other than marry a gay man, and that was unknowingly. So why should she have to put up any money? She's going to be losing her life as it was. In many cases, these women didn't plan to be every other week parents. They weren't planning not to see their children every other week because the husbands are demanding they spend a week in, you know, shared custody.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to give up the time with their children. They have to go through the emotional struggle of trying to rebuild their life. They have to go to therapy to find out how everything unraveled in their life. Why do they have to pay for the damage? I don't get it. I mean, if somebody damages you, I'm not saying it's necessarily intentional, but even unintentionally, I mean, if you're driving in a car and you smash into a window, it wasn't your intention to hurt the window, it was an accident, but you would have to take care of it.
Right.
And the same thing here. Even if it's accidentally, they didn't know at the time, they were hoping against hope, they really loved their wives, I know all the stories. And I understand them. I'm not trying to make fun of them, but it was your mistake. Why does your wife have to pay for it? Because I look at the women spending thousands of dollars to get attorneys, and they still come out losing.
Right. And that's what's so sad. I mean, they don't get what's rightfully even due to them. Some walk away like me with nothing.
Well, that's the point. And then we struggle. We have to give up our homes in many cases, sell the house because they want half of it. We're forced to change our whole lifestyle. Many times women were raising children. Now they have to go out and get a job, you know, when they don't have the skills necessary. I mean, there's so many different variables here that just point to the fact that something is wrong with saying there's no fault when there is fault. But getting back to your book, some of the other things you talk about in here is your 2020 hindsight, and you say, looking back, he was not the love of my life. He was not even my type. I was never a passionate relationship like I had with my first husband. I realized what attracted me to him. It was because he was not a womanizer. I went through a painful relationship with my first marriage with him cheating. So it was refreshing to meet someone who was only interested in me. He never looked at other women and maintained that throughout the marriage. Imagine my shock when I found out that he was a cheat and he was cheating with men. I did feel sorry for him in the beginning. Poor gay man who felt like he had to marry me to hide the fact he's gay. How horrible it must have been for him to pretend so many years, having to live alone with his secret, never feeling like he could be himself. No wonder he was so cruel. He worked on my sympathy. This is something that he always wanted. He wanted me to feel sorry for him. Then I stopped feeling sorry for him, and I started putting myself first and began working on me and my healing. It's easy to beat ourselves up for not knowing, and that's what we were just talking about. But we are not mind readers, and these men lie to us. I see it all now in hindsight. Isn't it something how we'll be seeing, looking back? I see him secretly meeting men for sex as I was home being the good wife. I see him treating me badly because I'm not a man, and a man was what he wanted. I understand all the disappearances. I know what all the phone calls meant from a gay man upset because my husband did not show up for the cookout. I know the gay porn I found on the computer was his, even though he blamed me by saying, you gave us a computer virus. I know it's true, and I was told he made sexual advances to a male acquaintance, and now I know what he was doing in the bathroom of our apartment with a male coworker. I admit I was naive. There were times I wondered. Then his mother asked me if he was gay. At this point in my marriage, I told her I did not know. I never knew this person or the deep, dark secrets he carried. If I would have, I would have never married him. He took away my choice. Then I feel as if I wasted my life. I wanted something from him, an apology, the truth. There are some of the feelings and emotions. These are some of the feelings and emotions I went through when we divorced. If you are just finding out your husband is gay, you will go through a range of feelings and emotions. The first thing we need to do is to stop blaming ourselves for not knowing. How could we know? These men are lying to us daily. You may have felt something was off in your marriage, but you did not know it was this. Second, we have to quit feeling sorry for him and make ourselves and our healing a number one priority. Three is not your best friend. You have to know someone who has your best interest at heart and is your best friend. Your gay husband does not have your best interest at heart. 4, quit making excuses for his bad behavior. 5, quit waiting for a confession or an apology. It will never happen. And 6, most importantly, go no contact if you can. For those of you with children, limited contact. Always keep your boundaries. Keep it strictly about the children. 7, simplify your life. Declutter, get rid of things you don't need. Get yourself grounded and have a routine. Remember, healing takes time. Don't rush the process. Know you are not alone or you're not broken. You may feel broken at times, but we are resourceful, resilient, and have much more strength than we give ourselves credit for. It's so beautifully written, Deborah.
Oh, thank you, Bonnie.
Because I think it hits right on the head what we were saying. So many women are sitting there and blaming themselves, or they're feeling sorry for their gay husbands. Just think, all those years that he lived with me and he couldn't be happy because of the fact that, you know, he was gay and I'm straight, and he was frustrated. Poor baby, you know, he tried so hard. You know, so I think that's the first mistake. You can't feel sorry, you know, for somebody who's not sorry for what he did to you. Would you agree with that?
I agree, because that's exactly what I was going to say. Mine had no mercy on me when he wanted out. He wanted me out of our house, and he didn't care if I was homeless when he, you know. So.
Exactly. A lot of them are really cruel because they're so miserable and they blame you. You know, they come, many of them, not all, of course, because I know some wonderful gay ex-husbands, but many of them are very cruel to their wives. And they especially
A few, you know, from the group I've been in, there are a few of the men, and it's rare, but there are a few good ones that do the right thing.
Absolutely. I have a very good friend who I met when I ran my support group 30-some years ago, and we've been friends ever since. And, you know, he's down in Florida, and he's been tremendous support to his family, to his wife, you know, our ex-wife. You know, he moved her down there when she wanted to come down. You know, he feels that he has to make up for what he's done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but he couldn't help what he did, but that's who he is. He's a gay man. But at least he didn't blame his wife, and at least he took care of his wife and his children. And so I know other gay men like that who are kind and they're good and they feel very bad, but this is the way it is. But I certainly know a large number of men who are not good and who really torture their wives. And it's not enough just to leave the marriage. You have to keep torturing her. And those are the men who really have, I think they have very bad psychological problems.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think anything's going to help them at all. I mean, that's not to say never, ever, but I would say it's close. Because they justify what they do. And they're looking to take revenge on you for something that you didn't do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not your fault that you're not a gay man. You didn't go into a marriage with that. But, Deborah, don't you think the other issue is also that we don't understand homosexuality? You know, we're socialized to believe that gay means you want to be with someone of the same sex, So why would someone who's gay want to marry us? I mean, where would our thinking even be with that?
I don't think I've fully understood it. I'd seen some things when I was a teenager growing up in the inner city of Houston, Texas, and gay men used to come in our neighborhood and pick up young boys.
Uh-huh.
And some of the boys went to make money. I mean, we were poor kids. And I didn't even necessarily think the boys that went were gay. So
uh-huh.
I'm still confused about that one. I'm like, well, you know.
Sexuality is very confusing. And when you're young, a lot of people can do things that they can't do when they're older.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for instance, there are young men who do prostitution because they're desperate for money.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll do stuff with another guy, and I don't believe that makes them gay when they're, you know, at that age. They're just trying to make some extra money. But sexuality at best is confusing, and some people aren't just real sure of their sexuality till later on, and other people just don't want to believe that could be their sexuality. And they want to fall in love. They want to have a wife. They want to have the norm. They don't want to have the persecution that used to go and still in some places definitely still goes with being homosexual. And I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
But what I don't understand is why after we're harmed and after these guys do come out, what's the issue? I mean, why aren't you supporting us and saying, poor ladies, you gave up 10, 20, 30 years of your life. You deserve something in return. I hope that guy's going to take care of you.
Right.
No, they're not saying that. They're just cheering him on, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I see the imbalance. That straight wives
and
don't matter.
And, you know, they're told not to tell their wives or, you know, they won't come out good in the divorce if the wife finds out.
That's right. You know, there's a whole network of gay fathers groups and gay, you know, gay husbands, and they're very quick to say, do not tell your wife you're gay. And I only know this because men tell me who go to these groups. Just like they tell, they have it in a lot of these groups, do not tell your wife to go to Bonnie Kay. She's going to poison their minds. Well, I'm not poisoning their minds. I'm trying to do what's right for the woman. You know, you're leading your life now and you're moving on. It's important for you to do the right thing by the woman you supposedly loved all this year and who definitely loved you.
Yes.
One of the women who, you know, is part of our network, her name is Linda Fagan, and she's going to be on the show next week. She's done an amazing initial thing, you know, which came to me about a year and a half ago. And she told me she's working on a bill in her state of Iowa. And it's called Fair Marriage for the Protection of Children Act. And what she's looking to do is to have this part of your initial marriage certificate, you know, as one of the questions, or not the certificate, but one of the questions when you're being asked about getting married, to ask, are you gay or are you straight? And if you say that you're straight and later on down the line you become gay, or not become gay, you come to terms with being gay, then you're the one who's responsible for, you know, taking care of the problems of the financial end of the marriage. And she wants this to become something that's legal. And she's fighting in Iowa, you know, to have this take place. And so next week on our show, and it'll be my final show for the summer, then we're going to have some really good reruns of guests who have been on the show that will, you know, you can hear again until September. And then I'll have a whole new lineup. And hopefully with my new lineup, Deborah will be one of my regulars every month. And we'll be talking about topics that really concern us as straight wives. In our Straight Wives Matter campaign right now, I'm asking for people to write to me if they will participate in a survey. We're putting together a survey that I'll share the results with everyone who's taking part in it. And this is a survey to see the damage that's done to women when they're going through these divorces, primarily financially. We want to show that how much money women have to suffer in putting out for these divorces and losing what they have for something that has nothing to do with them. This is totally unfair, and it totally doesn't make sense. So if any of you would like to participate in that survey and you haven't gotten to me yet, please write to me at bondk@aol.com. Also, I just want to mention that Deborah's book, Signs of the Gay Husband, Volume 2, On the Other Side of Fear, can be bought right away at Amazon.com. And this is a powerful book because Deborah shares a lot of her own life and exposes herself, you know, to a lot of different issues. You know, she's very open about it. And I think that's how we learn best, from sharing with people. Right, Deb?
It is how we learn, and it's how we heal.
It's part of healing, too, sharing your story, you know, letting people know what you've been through and getting people to connect on, you know, that same level. And Deborah does share a lot of stuff in here. And, you know, she has one, I just want to end with this particular chapter, Deb, where you said, you've always had the power, my dear. We must stay focused on our own healing. We as human beings love the idea of fairness, and we would love to see the scales of justice tip in our favor and bring justice to those who harmed us. The truth is that life is not fair, and we may never see karma, the karma bus coming for those who caused the damage. To begin our lives anew, we must take our focus off those who caused the harm and focus on our own lives and healing. We must realize that people have gone on in their lives, and they're not thinking, thinking about us. Let's not waste another minute on those who do not deserve our time. The power to heal and move forward lies within yourself. You have everything you need inside. You hold the power, you know, for your own healing. No one can hold on to you without you giving them permission to do so. Feel the lightness as you release the weight of what has held you. Release the pain and anger that's holding you back. And Deborah goes on to tell her story and how she was able to start doing this. And that's what I love about this book. It's so many good things in here that you'll be able to make a connection to. If you're not sure how to remember the title of the book, just go to on Amazon to Deborah Sutton, S-U-T-T-O-N. Or if you're listening to this podcast, you'll see the name of the book in the description here of what the night's events were. So, Deborah, we're coming to the end, and I really want to thank you so much for co-hosting with me tonight.
Well, thank you for having me, Bonnie.
I know that our women always look forward to when you'll be here. And, you know, hopefully, once again, when we start in September, you'll come back and start my season off with me, and we're going to have some wonderful guests coming on. We're going to have some women this year telling their stories on the air so that you can make more of a connection also. And we'll have some of our professionals help us. Once again, Dr. Margalis Felstad, if you haven't looked into her book on how to recover from living with someone narcissistic, it's a beautiful book with lots of good advice to help you heal. If you need some kind of stress relief, Pamela Adams Gifford is, you know, her broadcast, I put it in our newsletter. She's more than happy to give you an hour free workshop on relieving your stress. You know, she's a health coach. We have lots of possibilities here for you to feel better about yourself. You just have to reach out to me and let me know by writing to me at bonk@aol.com. I want to shout out to my nephew, Scott, who always listens to these broadcasts. Scott, I love you. And always walk the straight and narrow. You'll never go astray. Deborah, any last words that you would like to make?
I just wish healing and comfort to all the women that are listening and all the women in the Straight Wives Club. Just hoping we can all move forward and have a happy life.
Yes, and that's our plan, to help you move forward. However we have to, whatever support you need, Deborah's there, I'm there. Write to me, and we'll hook you up. So, everyone, have a wonderful week, and I'll be back next week for our last summer show. Deborah, I love you, and thank you for everything. If they want to see your blog, how do they do that?
It's at Signs of a Gay Husband by Deborah Sutton. You can Google that, and it'll take you.
Your blog will come up?
Yes.
Because Deborah writes beautiful blogs that you'll appreciate when you need support. All right, everyone, have a wonderful week, and I'll talk to you soon. Love you, Deb.
Love you, too. Good night.
Good night.